Welcome to the Betting Above the Rim podcast. Today's date, June 3rd, episode 58. In today's podcast, we get into four topics. Number one, with the NBA Finals tipping off starting on Thursday, we'll take a look at some series-long props, player props specifically, that I would like you to take a look at. Next, we head to the W. And although with an impressive victory last night, the New York Liberty has been wildly inconsistent in their play. I'll take a look at their three superstars, Sabrina Ionescu, Breanna Stewart, and Jonquel Jones, and talk about what's going on with the Liberty, and is this team still a title contender? Speaking of title contenders, we'll move a little bit north of the Liberty to the Connecticut Sun, the only undefeated team in the W, and I'll look at their three superstars, the play of DeWanna Bonner, Alyssa Thomas, and Breanna Jones. Can the Connecticut Sun break the top two of the Aces and Liberty and be championship title contenders? Lastly, we go to the college game. And I've been waiting to talk about this. We've been sitting on this for a while, but it's been good because it's been moving around a little bit with Coach. I will give you, based off the transfer portal, my top five college basketball team for the men for the 24-25 season. And let's get started with the NBA Finals, which tips off beginning Thursday night with the Dallas Mavericks taking on the Boston Celtics. And just a little side note, folks, while we will focus today on the season-long, or I should say the series-long props, all lines by BetMGM, of course, do a great job sponsoring the Betting Above the Rim podcast and the show Saturday and Sundays, 1 to 3 p.m. with myself and Scotty Farrell. We will spend Wednesday's podcast, we released on Thursday, to preview game number one. So I just want to make sure people understand that today's focus will be on series-long props, whereas Wednesday's podcast, to be released on Thursday, will focus on game number one. Now let's get started with the top score in the NBA Finals. Right now, Luka Doncic is a heavy favorite at minus 175. Jason Tatum at plus 250. Jaylen Brown, 12-1, along with Kyrie Irving. Porzingis, 40-1. And then we don't need to go any further than that. And folks, let's be honest with you. This is a one-man race. To me, Luka Doncic, his play, particularly the last couple of games of the NBA playoffs, specifically in that Western Conference Finals versus Dallas, was one of remarkable play. A Luka Doncic that we could sit here and say, after this series is over, is Luka Doncic the best player in the world? A Luka Doncic that is scoring literally 29 points per game during the playoffs, had a little bit of a rough patch, but the five-game series against Minnesota, from game one to game five, 33, 32, 33, 28, 36. And he's shooting the ball better, folks. This is a Luka Doncic at every game he is, except for one. It should be game four, which is the one game they lost. Luka Doncic, four to five games, shot at least 43% from the floor. A Luka Doncic that in, you know, three out of five games shot at least 45% from three and making at four out of five games at least 80% of his free throws. The ball is going to be in Luka Doncic's hands, and Dallas is going to be dependent on him to score. Now, the other reason why I like Luka Doncic to lead the series in scoring, as I feel like Tatum and Brown, one of them is going to have a bad game or two in a series. And folks, I still can't get the 6-for-17 game number six out of my head for Jason Tatum in the 2022 NBA Finals. And if you even look at it, folks, I think Jaylen Brown should be closer to Jason Tatum. This is a Jaylen Brown that led the Boston Celtics, basically was the Eastern Conference Finals MVP. And you could argue that the 2022 NBA Finals, if Boston would have won, it would have been Jaylen Brown because he was their best player. And Tatum, although is ultra talented, and I don't want people start knocking me and saying I don't like Jason Tatum, folks, there could be nothing further from the truth. I am a huge Jason Tatum guy, but he's got to do it for an entire series. Jason Tatum, sometimes I feel like, doesn't attack the basket enough. Jason Tatum, sometimes it gets a little bit too cute. Jason Tatum, when he takes the ball to the hoop and doesn't fade away, is absolutely dynamite. But I also think P.J. Washington is one of the more underrated defenders in the league. And he's got a tall assignment. And I think at least for one game, he's going to slow down Tatum. Brown, you know, I think sometimes he can struggle to go left. Kyrie is intriguing at 12-1 because of Kyrie's ability to score and break out. I also think he's going to be guarded by Derek White, whereas Luka Doncic will be guarded by Jrue Holiday. Porzingis, 40-1. This is not the market we're going to be looking at Kristaps. But if there's a market we will be looking at, it will be the lead, the series, ready folks, in rebounding. If you look at the odds, Jason Tatum is a minus money, nearly even favorite at minus 105. Luka Doncic at plus 160. Lively at 12-1. Porzingis 16-1. Gafford 20-1. Horford 50-1. I'm not going to worry about Brown or Washington. And folks, this is about style. Style make fights. Jason Tatum is going to probably guard P.J. Washington. P.J. Washington stands at the three-point line, especially that quarter pocket three. By the way, he loves that left corner. So that should take away Tatum, in my opinion, to lead the series in rebounding because he's going to have to guard guys that can shoot the ball from the perimeter. Then you go to Luka. And Luka's intriguing at plus 160 because he's a great rebounding guard. But let's see who he guards between White, Holiday, two guys to shoot the ball from deep, or when he comes off the bench, a guy like a Peyton Pritchard. So to me, Luka could get tied up. Derek Lively could be intriguing at 12-1, but there's one problem. It's who he's guarding. Porzingis, three-point shooter. Al Horford, three-point shooter. No post-up game for either one. And they don't put them in what we call the dunk spot. So that means Lively and Gafford at 20-1 are going to be pulled away from the basket. Which brings me to Porzingis. Is Kristaps a rebounding machine? Absolutely not. Nothing close to that. But what did I say before? Styles make fights. You've heard me use that term all the time on this network. Porzingis is going to guard Lively. He's going to guard Gafford. Neither one of them are three-point shooters. Neither one of them play in the perimeter. Neither one of them handle the ball in the pinch post. They are pick and roll guys, O-boarders, and guys that are going to be in the dunk spot. So that means Porzingis is going to be around the rim. So for me, at 16-1, that is my pick to lead the series in rebounding. Now, then the concern would be also, before we bring up assists, well, what happens if he gets hurt? Because remember, folks, these bets are total rebounds. It's not rebounds per game. Make sure you understand that. Put a flyer, a couple of bucks, on Al Horford just in case at 50-1. Because if Porzingis gets hurt and he can't finish the series, you'll see Horford's numbers slice in half, if not more. My pick, Kristaps Porzingis, 16-1, to lead the series in rebounding, total rebounds, I should say, with a small piece on Al Horford at 50-1. because of mostly guarding Gafford and Lively. To the assist market, folks, there's no way to look at this. It's Lucas minus 600. I just wanted to pull it up because so we could have it. I mean, could Kyrie become the Robin and let Luka be the Batman? Yes, but it's not worth taking it. I'm not going to lay minus 600 for Luka to lead the series in assists. I will just take, if you want to take Luka, very simply put, play Luka game by game. I would not look at Luka at minus 600 to lead the series in assists. Now to the three-point shot. And this is the most wide-open market and the most interesting market. Luka Doncic is the favorite at plus 120. Derek White, plus 350. Kyrie, plus 550. Tatum, 9-1. Porzingis, 20-1. 25-1 for Drew Holiday and Jaylen Brown. And PJ Washington is at 30-1. It's about attempts. And it's about makes. I would be looking at just the top two if I were you. If I were you. Luka at plus 120. There's your odds where you can get something with Luka at plus money. That makes sense because I don't like the rebounding. But the other thing that makes me tempted me not to take Luka. And that's what's great about when you have me as a coach doing a podcast is I have a right as a coach that in my head, like think about this as I go through and I talk to you and I give you what I think. And folks, you got to understand, like I said, I'm a coach. I'm not looking at stats. That's not what I do. I look at the game and I play the game in my head how it's going to be done. And now the reason why I'm going sour on Luka is with Porzingis back, if I'm Drew Holiday, if I'm Derek White, whoever is guarding him, I get up on Luka and I funnel him to the basket because you got Porzingis there as a rim protector. I will say this. If Porzingis goes down to injury and they lose him for the finals, then you jump back in on Luka to lead the series in threes. But my pick is going to be Derek White at plus 350. That's his role. Tatum and Brown will draw a lot of interesting debate on who guards who. I think it's going to be Washington on Tatum and Jones Jr. on Jaylen Brown. But I could see where Derek White can get loose. Derek White, plus 350 to lead the NBA Finals and three-pointers made. Let's go on and move on, I should say, to the WNBA. And it's amazing, folks, that we're going to sit here and we're going to talk about a New York Liberty team that is 7-2. And they are wildly, wildly inconsistent. It's funny, you know, what's great about this network is the relationships and the friendships that have been formed and bonded. You know, one of my closest friends on this network, and I talk to almost every day, is K-Dub, Kevin Walsh. And what's great about Kevin and my relationship is I kind of look at Kevin as like another coach. So I always want to bounce things off of Kevin. And he was the one that kind of got me thinking about the Liberty. The Liberty are 7-2. But I want you to understand something. Against the spread, if I'm not mistaken, the Liberty have covered 3 times in 9 games. Two of them are against the Fever. Game number two, 102-66. Last night, 104-68. Opening game against at DC, 1-5, didn't cover. I told you about game number two. Game number three, right? Indiana, I think they were a 14.5-point favorite. 1-11, didn't cover. Seattle, 1-11, that's the one they did cover. Lost at Chicago. Lost at Minnesota. Phoenix, they were like a 9.5-10.5-point favorite, 1-3. Washington was a 14-15-point favorite, 1-11. And then they covered last night versus Indiana. So what is going on with the New York Liberty, folks? Very simply put, the New York Liberty folks are shooting 32% from three. And you're like, it's not bad. Not good. I mean, it's really not good. So the best way to look at it is look at the players individually. Let's start off with Sab. Sabrina Ionescu, who I have watched Sab practice at Oregon. I've watched her career closely. Quick story. When I went out to visit Oregon in 2018, shout out to my old boss, Jody Craig. Took me out there. It was after my first year. And she took me to see the Oregon practice because she was good friends, or is good friends, with Kelly Graves. By the way, shout out to my buddy Kelly Graves. Shout out to Mark Campbell and Xavi Lopez, my guys doing great jobs over at TCU, building a team. By the way, TCU will be a top 20 women's basketball team this upcoming year. Shout out to those two guys. And Kelly, of course, great guys, good friends. And Xavi was rebounding for Sab, and they played a game called Red Light, Green Light. Basically, it's five-spot shooting, college threes, and you don't move until you miss two in a row. And Sab shot for about 30 minutes. I mean, I was floored watching Sab shoot the ball. And we obviously saw what Sabrina did in that three-point contest versus Steph Curry at the All-Star weekend. And I will say this before I get to her stats. If Sab would have shot second, she would have beat Steph. But Sab's struggling to shoot the ball from three this year. Last year, she shot 42.3% from three. I'm sorry, 42.3% from four. Almost 45% from three. This year, she's down to 41.7% from the floor and 32.8% from three. This is one of the best shooters in the world. She is not knocking down shots. But I'm not overly concerned. I know she only made two out of six last night. But the two games before that, Washington and Phoenix, 8-17. She got off to a slow start. I expect Sabrina Ionescu, the star guard for the New York Liberty, shoot the ball better from three. Let's move on to the reigning WNBA MVP, Breanna Stewart, a.k.a. Stewie. And Stewie, folks, is not playing up to Stewie standards. And the great thing about Stewie is she'd probably tell you as such. Breanna Stewart, last year, her first season with the Liberty, scoring 23 points per game, 9 rebounds per game. She's down to 17.9 points per game, still the same amount of rebounds. But the key thing is that she's shooting at a 44% from the floor as compared to 46.5% last year, 36% or 35.5% last year from three. She's at 19%. Breanna Stewart, folks, that the worst shooting career that she had from three was in 2021 when she shot 33% from three. Now, it's a little bit different for Stewie this year because she's only taken 4.1 three-pointer attempts per game. That would be the lowest since her second year of 2017 playing for the Seattle Storm. So she's taking 1.7 less attempts this year. But folks, she's not even making a three-pointer per game. So Stewie, who I think is, honestly, I would call her the second best player in the world. Her and Asia Wilson. Pick your poison. I'll talk about the number three player coming up. But Stewie has only two games this year where she has made more than one three-pointer. She hasn't made a three-pointer since going 1-for-8 in that rough 84-67 loss at Minnesota. Stewie has not played well shooting the ball. If the New York Liberty are going to make a run for a WNBA championship, Breanna Stewart has got to start playing like Stewie. I still have a feeling that it's coming. Let's go to JJ. Jonquel Jones, 6'5", stretch 5, out of the George Washington University. And I've been a big fan of Double J. I want people to understand something, because I know there's been a lot of talk, and I'm going to go up in my soapbox here for a little bit. There's been a lot of talk about mainstream media, namely men, talking about the WNBA. Do me a favor, folks. Don't ever put me in that conversation. I have trained it. I have coached it. I have scouted it. And even though I'm not involved in coaching right now, I still talk to a ton of Division I head coaches and assistant coaches. So when I give you my WNBA or my women's basketball takes, please don't ever look at me as someone that is misinformed. You may not agree with what I'm telling you or what I'm saying, but don't get it twisted. I've been talking about WNBA since I got on this network in 2021. And I think I'm one of the best to talk about the WNBA and women's college basketball in this industry. Because when it comes to sports gambling, coaching, scouting, I think I'm one of one. Now, back to JJ. Jonquel is scoring the ball better this year than last year. She's up to 15 points per game, 8.7 rebounds. She's shooting the ball better this year, 56.2%. Shooting it better this year at 37.1%. But folks, JJ has been wildly consistent like her team. What happens if I told you in the two losses, Jonquel Jones has combined to score 12 points, have 10 total rebounds, and has committed 5 fouls each game? But the 7 games they've won, she has scored in double figures in every single game. She has not had anything less than 7 rebounds. And she has shot the ball, except for second game against Indiana Fever, at least 50% per game. So why am I bringing up JJ? Because if you think about it, folks, last year, the best player in the postseason, in that finals run for the Liberty, was Jonquel Jones. Take away game number 4 when she only had 6 points and 11 rebounds. Double J is what I call her. Games 1, 2, and 3 versus the Vegas Aces. 16-10, 22-10, 27-8. Do not put any disrespect on Jonquel Jones' game. If she was on any other team, maybe besides the Aces, you probably could call her the best player. Maybe you would say, you know, she would be tied or be second with the Connecticut Sun. Maybe she'd be tied or second with Nafisha Collier if she played for the Minnesota Lynx. Well, Double J is a flat-out baller and a former MVP. So what I'm telling you is, If Double J could play consistent, not those two games he played and those losses, if Sabrina Ionescu could play and shoot more like the back of her basketball card every year but this year, if Breanna Stewart can shoot the ball like we know Stewie can, and if they can get more consistent bench help. There's a player not playing this year named Maureen Johannes. She's not playing this year for New York Liberty because she's French, and she's focused on the 2024 Olympics, which happened to be in, you got it, Paris. So they have some players. Pull up the stats here real quick. These young ladies, Ivana and Leonie, are giving a combined 5.8 points per game. And Ivana is not getting the playing time. And Leonie is just not knocking down the shots. They missed the play of Maureen a lot more than people think. A Maureen Johannes, that although did not play well in the playoffs last year, she is a willing and a very good scorer and a great shooter and ball handler. They miss her game. We'll see what happens should she return to the Liberty next year, as she's going to miss this year as she focuses on the Paris Olympics. Let's move on to the best team in the W, at least according to record, and that's the Connecticut Sun. What a job this team has done, going out 8-0. But there's a little bit of a, I don't want to call it an asterisk, but before I get to their stars, remember, folks, so far this year, home Indiana, home Washington, at Indiana, home Minnesota Lynx, tight game, at Chicago, tight game, home Phoenix, home Dallas, and an impressive win, I will say that, 69-50 at Atlanta yesterday. Folks, they haven't played Minnesota on the road. They haven't played the Aces. They haven't played the Liberty. So while I am very impressed with this team, one could argue, who have they played? You can even throw in Seattle. What, Iwumake, Skylar Diggins-Smith, Jewel Lloyd. You could argue that they could be the third or fourth best team in the W. So we'll know more, especially Saturday when New York Liberty head to Connecticut. But really quick, the stats with this team is, number one, they're the best defensive team in the league. Okay? They are the best defensive team in the league. And they're giving up 70.6 points per game. Folks, the next team is New York. They're at 76. They lead the WNBA. And points differential. Every defensive metric you look at, they're probably leading the league. But what's great about them is they're three stars. Start with Dawana Bonner. Seasoned veteran. I love Dawana's game because her intensity, her passion, her love for the game is something that's it's beautiful to watch. And I wish more people would respect and know how great of a player Dawana Bonner is, because she doesn't get the love and the respect of someone that is 36 years old and has been in the league since 2009. Folks, her 19 points per game right now would be her third highest in her career, only be outdone by 2012 with the Phoenix Mercury, and 2020, her first year with the Connecticut Sun. 19 points per game. It's getting you 5.4 rebounds per game. Now, Delano's got to shoot a little bit better from three at 24.4%, but she's never been a high-volume shooter, high-percentage shooter, I should say, from three. So she's got to be a little bit better at shooting a three-pointer. But Dawana Bonner has been absolutely fantastic for this Connecticut Sun team. But let's move on to Miss Triple-Double. That's Alyssa Thomas. Another player that I feel like until last year wasn't getting the praise that she deserved. Because she doesn't score a ton, folks. She's only getting you 13.8 points per game. You look at her career, she only averages 12.5. But 9.6 rebounds per game and the 9 assists per game. Her 9 assists per game is a career high. Now, Alyssa will tell you she should shoot the ball better from the free throw line. And she ain't going to shoot no threes. Let's just get it twisted. That's just not her game. But what she will do is she will battle you baseline to baseline. Ferocious defender. Great as a point forward, attacking the basket, diming people up. And an excellent rebounder. One of the most complete players in the world. And someone that's getting more and more respect. Alyssa Thomas. But the key to this season, folks, to me, is going to be the play of Breonna Jones. Breonna Jones is getting you 13.1 points per game, 5 rebounds per game, 1.5 assists. You're like, well, coach, those stats aren't really impressive. But do remember, folks, that Breonna Jones was getting you 15.9, 8.2, 2.4, 1.8 steals per game until she tore her Achilles last year and missed the rest of the season. If Breonna Jones was healthy, this is one of the best bigs in the world. That team could have contended and possibly could have won a WNBA title. So with their defense and with their star power front court of Dawana Bonner, Alyssa Thomas, and Breonna Jones, the Connecticut Sun right now are sitting firmly in first place in the East, the only undefeated team in the W. But let me see what happens Saturday. Huge game in the W as the Liberty head to Uncasville, Connecticut, the Mohegan Sun Arena to take on the Connecticut Sun. Let's end today's podcast by me briefly going over my top 5 for next year. Number 5. Iowa State. Number 4, Houston. Number 3, Kansas. Number 2, Baylor. And number 1, the Alabama Crimson Tide. So for me, when you look at a team like Iowa State, TJ Altsenberger has done just a wonderful job with this program. And what I love about TJ's team is they lock you down. And remember, I think last year I called them mini Houston. Maybe Houston is a mini Iowa State. Why are they top 5? Because they're bringing 4 guys back, 4 starters. Lipsy, Jones, Gilbert, Milanovic. But don't sleep on the addition of Jackson from Charlotte and Jefferson from St. Mary's to round out that team. Their experience, they can defend, and they got a great coach, one of the top 5 to 10 coaches in the nation. Those reasons right there, and the fact that they're going to go through this schedule with these other Big 12 teams, they will make a run at a national championship. Speaking of that, 10 to number 4, the Houston Cougars. And everybody knows how much J.Y. loves Houston because of Calvin Sampson. My concern always has been with Calvin is the fact that when games get close, I don't think they run anything high efficient. They kind of bleed the clock and let Jamal Shedd go to work. Well, Jamal Shedd is gone. But LJ Cryer is back. Emmanuel Sharpe is back. Joel Roberts is back. Francis is back. And they get Uzan to replace Jamal Shedd at the point. If they could stay healthy and Sharpe and Cryer continue to elevate their offensive game, you know they're going to defend. You know they're going to be well coached. Houston Cougars, number 4, preseason. Number 3, Rock Chalk, Jayhawk. You're going to see a theme here. Some of the best coaches in the world, in the country. Obviously, Bill Self, outstanding. Probably had his worst season at Kansas last year. But he kind of fixed it. Because what he did is, he's able to, and we'll talk about this a little bit with Scott Drew next, take your team, and the same thing with Nate Oates, take your team, grab some transfers, or maybe a McDonald's All-American, and mold it. Well, Kansas is going to bring back DeJuan Harris, is what I think is one of the best pure point guards in the country. KJ Adams, who is a dynamite 4. And Hunter Dickinson, who I think started college basketball when I ended college basketball, my career. And that was 1998. All kidding aside, huge fan of Hunter Dickinson. Remember, he played the end of the year hurt, so he should be better this year. But the ability to go get Zeke Mayo out of South Dakota State as a bucket getter, AJ Storr as a bucket getter, but also Rylan Griffin from Alabama, they should be, even with the losses, like Furphy, they're going to be right in the mix of Kansas Jayhawks to win a national championship for Bill Self and be so much better than last year. Number 2, Scott Drew. A Scott Drew that everybody tried to come after. Louisville tried. Kentucky tried. When you looked at Scott Drew, he's got it right. None. Love. Return. As Coleman, he gets one of the best incoming players in the country. But his ability to go to the transfer portal and get Jeremy Roach, a very much underrated guard with tons of experience from Duke, and then late, and Norchad Omir, one of the premier shot blocking double-double machines, was able to vault this team up to 2 because of their coach, the returning players, bringing in high-impact transfers and high-impact freshmen. Scott Drew continues to get it right, and the Baylor Bears will make a run at a national championship. But my number 1 team right now, Roll Tide. Why? Stevenson and Sears come back. You look at Reitzel coming back, getting young blood from South Florida, getting you about 15 points a game. But here is the biggest key. The ability to move Grant Nelson to the 4 by getting Cliff Amori from Rutgers. Being a Jersey guy and watching Big Cliff play, he's never going to blow you out of the water with the offensive game. And let's be honest, that's probably my biggest gripe with Big Cliff, is I never felt like he grew offensively. But damn it, he's one of the best rim protector shot blockers in the country. And my concern with Alabama last year with Grant Nelson was his propensity to get fouls. to get fouls, and he would get bodied. Now he could be that stretch four that he's capable of being. He has a big to protect him in Big Cliff. And the Achilles heel, not just with Grant, but the entire Alabama team, was their defensive prowess. And now they can play in transition. Then they get up and down. And they got a premier shot blocker and rebounder in Big Cliff Amore, which allows them to lead the fast break. But now you got your rim protector. Number one team, Alabama. So I repeat one more time. Top five. Number five, Iowa State. Number four, Houston. Number three, Kansas. Number two, Baylor. Number one, Alabama. This has been your Betting Above the Rim podcast for June 3rd, episode 58. For all things sports gambling, please go download that Sports Grid app. Pre-game, in-game, post-game, props, predictions, and more from the very best in the sports gambling industry. I know. This is a longer one for Coach, but Coach had to get some stuff off his chest. Next podcast, taped on Wednesday, will preview game number one of the NBA Finals, and I will talk about why, if they don't win Friday, Indiana better fire their head coach. For Maddie George, my producer, Benny with the graphics, thanks for listening, folks. Remember, it's smarter to be on SportsGrid. Good night.